This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Brewer is going to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, always a pleasure.
So, for this week, what do we get for number five?
Pokemon Sleep. Pokemon has announced a new game that's going to be released in 2020, and you play it while you sleep. It's not enough to play the game while you're awake, but you're playing it while you sleep. And I will say, as weird and creepy as it sounds, I am fired up on this, and let me tell you why. Sleep is the most essential thing that you can do for your body, for your entire just overall health. And this game is going to reward you for sleeping better and sleeping longer and having healthier sleeping patterns. So that is a plus. But to take a step back, I'll explain what's going on. So basically, the game Pokemon Sleep is going to be released in 2020, and there's going to be another device that's released with it as well. Details are still a little bit fuzzy, but that device is going to be put under your pillow, and it's going to be able to assess an individual's sleep patterns, and it's going to reward you in the game. We're thinking like it's going to help you level up Pokemon, going to help them with training and things like that, and let your Pokemon squad get a little bit stronger while you sleep. And so it's going to incentivize good sleeping, and that's great because sleep is essential, and it's a fun way to gamify sleep. It's something we do every night. You might as well have some fun with it.
So wait, you put it under your pillow. Does it like play music? How does it know that it's underneath the pillow and that you're on it? Like, could you just put a doll on top of it? I want to trick it.
Yeah, that's where the skepticism comes into play, because without an encephalogram, which is essentially leads attached to an individual's head assessing brainwave patterns, it's very difficult to tell when somebody is in sleep. So when they're progressing through stage 1, 2, 3, 4 REM, brainwave change, and the only way to actually tell that is through an encephalogram. And so the other sleep apps or like other sleep trackers out there just look at heart rate and breathing ventilation patterns, which is not necessarily an indicator of different stages of sleep. So we're thinking that this will probably be looking at respiration and heart rate. And so it's not going to be the best indicator. I still think you couldn't trick it with a doll because it's going to be more than weight. But unless they come out with like a very in-depth brainwave tracker, it's going to be kind of hard to really be accurate.
Yeah, I would think something like a Fitbit, you know, to go on your wrist so it can like really monitor you. I'm not sure how it's going to do that under a pillow, but technology, right? Maybe it'll surprise me.
I think that they might be kind of a Fitbit type situation, but we'll have to see. Details are fuzzy, but we got to wait till 2020, but I love Pokemon and it's going to be sick.
What we get for number four?
S-P-E-L-L-I-N-G, spelling. We got the spelling bee. It kicked off last night. It's concluding today on Friday, and the winner is going to get $50,000 in cash from Merriam-Webster and a couple other prizes as well. But the National Spelling Bee is awesome because these kids are just freaking geniuses, and they're up there, and they're just throwing out these crazy words and sounding it out, and you can see the thought process. But it's funny, we actually looked at Google. We looked at the top searched how to spell blank words in every state, and what's so funny is the top searched how to spell blank in Hawaii is how to spell Hawaii, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. We're looking at Illinois, beautiful, which is actually the same in California. We're seeing a lot of beautifuls, a lot of appreciate, had a lot of beautifuls. February, delicious, independence. Spelling is difficult, for sure, so it'll be fun to watch the kids. I mean, some of the past words, let's see if you know how to spell it. You know how to spell oh, yes?
Oh, yes. O-H-A-Z. I have no idea. Oh, yes. What is it?
O-Y-E-Z. See, so you overthought it. Sometimes it's so simple.
You're right. That was pretty simple.
I know. I got you with it. But yeah, there's going to be 560 kids.
Well, good for them. Don't they do that? Is this a Latin word? Does this come from Greek?
What is the country of origin for you?
Yes, exactly. I get a kick out of that. I don't know what they're talking about, but I want more. I give me more.
And is this like that helps them determine, which it does, that they study the different spelling patterns based on the country of origin, I'm sure. But it just sounds so funny when they're like, hey, what's the country of origin? Use it in a sentence, please.
For me, that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
I'm still going to spell it wrong, but I'm going to make you work for it. You know, just keep giving me information.
That's true. Kind of flip the script a little bit and make the people go up there like, yeah, use it in a sentence, man. You don't know either.
You know, I remember one line in Robin Hood Men in Tights where one of the bad guys was like, dead, D-E-D, dead. And whenever I think of Spelly Bees, I think of that guy.
It is funny how they do. Yeah, they have to say it and then they have to spell it and then say the word. Yeah, kids get fired up too. I mean, nothing like the adrenaline rush of spelling the right word on a spelling bee.
Real fast, how do they get there? Like, how many competitions do they have to go through to get to the National Spelling Bee?
There are different regional competitions. I'm sure there's a good amount of rounds. But 560 kids, that's a lot of kids. They also air it on ESPN. I mean, this is like a big thing every single year. But yeah, I think there are different regional bees, and then the person that's the best of those different areas then goes to compete at the final rounds. But this is like the finals. But again, you can watch on ESPN today. It's kicking off. Or it's concluding today.
What we get for number three?
We have got Pizza Hut. And we've got Pizza Hut because they're changing up their iconic pie for the first time in 40 years. They're switching up a little bit of the recipe. And I think it's going to be a good change. And what they're doing is they're going to use part skim mozzarella cheese instead of a whole milk mozzarella. But they're doing that to reduce the fat content within the cheese, I think. That's not for sure, but I'm just inferring here. But then they're going to use more cheese. So it's going to be a cheesier pie with the same amount of, I think, nutritional facts, you know. So I think that'll be cool. But, again, first time in 40 years. I'm more of a Domino's guy myself, but I'm not too good for the Hut. I'm not saying I'm too good for the Hut, but I'm more of a Domino's guy. But I wish the Hut the best with this new recipe.
You know, when I saw Pizza Hut on the list, I was like, oh, my God, are they bringing back Pizza Head? Do you remember their old mascot or no?
Yeah, I can't say that I do. Please tell me more.
Yeah, they had a mascot, and it was a pizza, like a slice of pizza, and its eyes were olives, and its mouth was olives. And his name was Pizza Head. And he would be like in all these adventures.
That's the news you were hoping for.
Yes, I wanted Pizza Head back.
Wow. You know, I do too now. That sounds really fun. Would he like be in commercials, like dance around? Or
yeah, it was like, it was just like a weird little commercial thing. You have to go look them up. They were so strange. 80s and early 90s, like mascots was a very strange time. It was a strange time and I loved it. Was it Domino's Noid? Do you not remember the Noid?
The Noid? Was that the Domino's mascot?
Yes. It was like this weird little dude in a bunny, red bunny suit. And he was annoying you. He was the Noid. And it was horrible. I don't know. It was just weird times. And I just remember the commercials with Pizza Hut's Pizza Head. And the toys they had, too. They had the Land Before Time toys with Ducky. I remember Ducky. That was good. Do you remember Ducky?
Your pizza chain mascot knowledge is completely unmatched. This is phenomenal. I don't know a lot about Noid or Pizza Head, but now I do, so thank you.
You're welcome. What we get for number two?
We've got Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world, and that has been capturing headlines this week and a lot of search interest because people are dying, unfortunately, and it's been one of the deadliest years in history. 11 people have died so far, and people are blaming that on overcrowding and extreme weather conditions. You might have seen some of the photos this week on the news of these routes heading up to the peak, and they're just absolutely jam-packed with people, just shoulder to shoulder heading up this peak. And this is not an easy peak to climb. Once you get above 20,000 feet, you're in the death zone. You can't be sitting there waiting for people to walk ahead of you. It's like a very dangerous situation. And it's forcing the Nepalese government to think about ways to mitigate some of these effects and change some of the permit laws right now. Because up until now, basically anybody can get a permit to climb. It's expensive. You got to get Sherpas. You got to do planning. But they're not really limiting a lot of permits, but they have to. I mean, it's to the point where it's extremely dangerous. And some of the videos that you've seen is so many people. And, you know, it's obviously a dangerous mountain, but when you add overcrowding to it, it's just terrible. But also, it's been trending for a happier reason as well, because it's actually the 66th anniversary this past Wednesday of the first ever summit on Mount Everest. That took place in 1953. Tenzing Norgay and Sir Edmund Hillary were the first to top the peak. They say that they both got to the summit the exact same time. so that one wasn't ahead of the other, and it's awesome. They're an inspiration in the mountaineering community for sure, and I love those guys.
It's funny. I'm not into climbing mountains, but I always like listening to the stories of people who have been to Mount Everest, and in particular, I always remember how people are like, there's a lot of garbage up there, and it's because people will bring it up, and they don't bring it down because you don't have the energy. You barely have the energy to bring it back down, and this one story always stuck with me. This guy, he went to the top with this group, and as they're coming back down, there was a woman, and she was like, I just need to rest. So she sat in the snow, she curled into a ball, and everybody just walked away because they knew that was it. Nobody could carry her down. If you lose your strength, that's it. You're dead. Then he went on and was like, yeah, there's other like guide marks are actually people in the snow because the colorful jackets. So it's actually very strange, I think, climbing Mount Everest. I don't know what people get out of that, but, you know, good for you, I guess.
Yeah, it is so much of an ego thing right now, I think, because a lot of the people that are climbing it, sure, they're an experienced mountaineer that do it with minimal assistance, but there's a lot of people out there that shell out $100,000 to get basically carried up the mountain by Sherpas and have a lot of assistance there, which I think is causing a lot of overcrowding and a lot of the issues that they're dealing with. But yeah, there's tons of dead bodies on Everest. They're not going to remove them because, one, a lot of people think that that's part of the mountain and that's part of the history and that's part of the culture. But also, yeah, it's really difficult to remove somebody from the tallest mountain in the world. So yeah, you're right. There are a lot of different markers that they use from the deceased. There's, more than 100. Some of them are being more uncovered now with climate change and the way the temperatures are changing. There's less snow in certain areas, and so bodies are being uncovered. So, yeah, I'm sure it's a pretty wild scene.
Now, I know you like to climb. I have to ask, how long do you think someone who went from never climbing to wanting to climb Mount Everest, I mean, what would they have to do to train for that? Because I imagine, like, there are people who are just like, oh, let me shell out $100,000. I want to be at the top of Mount Everest. I mean, shouldn't they train for a year, or should it be 5 years?
I try to climb as many mountains as I can. The highest mountain that I've ever climbed was Mount Shasta, and that was like 14,000 and, I don't know, and change, which was high, and it was hard, and it was difficult, but that's, Everest is double that. And so I think that I trained pretty heavily for that, and in order to do double that mountain, it's a completely different beast. And there's just no way you could do that in a year, especially going from not a lot of experience to that, even if you do have assistance. It's just a getting your fitness level to the point where you can rely on minimal oxygen is something that takes years to garner. So, yeah, I'm not sure how long it would take because I haven't done anything crazy like that. But, man, you've got to spend a lot of time training. And it's not only just fitness levels, but it's also, like, navigating certain safety situations. So, I don't know. Hopefully there aren't people out there that are just, you know, hey, I don't have a lot of experience, but I want to do it because that's how you die.
I know. I'm not that person. I don't want to climb any mountain. I'll leave that to you, Justin.
That's fine. I'll send you pics from the top.
What we get for number one?
We've got Bill Buckner, a little bit of a sad trend here, as he passed away at the age of 69 this past week after battling dementia. And obviously, people always turn to Google to figure out who that person was and what their legacy was. But Bill Buckner has a lot of legs. He was a phenomenal baseball player. He had over 2,700 hits in his career, and that was second most for any ball player to play in the era that he played, which was the 70s and the 80s, and that was only behind Pete Rose. But unfortunately, a bit of his legacy is negative. He had a crucial error in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series against the Mets, and the game had already been pretty wild. It was tied on pitch during extra innings, but then Buckner's error. So essentially there was a very routine ground ball to him at first base. He gets the ground ball. He gets the out. It would have been, you know, a very doable play. The ball went through his legs and the game-winning score. So then they won Game 6, and then the Mets went on to win the next game, Game 7 as well. And at that point, Boston was cursed the great Bambino. And that man won a World Series since 1918. So he was basically forced to leave the state of Massachusetts. It was his home state. And he moved out in 1990 after his retirement because that kind of followed him everywhere. And then they invited him back in 2006 for the 20th anniversary of that 1986 team. He declined because he thought that there was just going to be a backlash. But he did come back in 2008 for the Red Sox home opener. And he was given a 2-minute standing ovation. So I think everybody in Boston, hopefully, they're over it by now. But, I mean, Bill Buckner's a great guy. And also, he was in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was so funny, where he, like, catches a baby out of a burning building and, like, makes fun of the fact that, you know, like, he's kind of redeeming himself on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was hilarious.
You know, it's kind of messed up how people who have phenomenal athletic careers, and people always think of, like, oh, that one mistake. And I think even of Michael Jordan when he went to baseball and professional right. golf, too. And it's like, you know, what about all the things they accomplished throughout their career? Condolences to his family and friends. He was a great athlete.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was one Magic player when I was working at the Orlando Magic. There was this guy, Nick Anderson, who's one of the phenomenal players, and he missed two crucial free throws in, I think it was the NBA Finals, and it would have allowed them to extend the series and ended up losing them the game. And he still, to this day, like, that haunts him, and people bring it up to him on the street and, like, still heckle him about that. And it's like, dude, first off, it's sports, get over it. Second off, like, I know, these things just haunt them. So, yeah, Bill Buckner, he's known for so much more than that, and hopefully people can let that small little error go.
What we get for the most trending YouTube video this week?
We've got the golden buzzer. Cody Lee wows you with historic music moment on America's Got Talent 2019. So just go to YouTube, search Cody Lee. That's K-O-D-I-L-E-E, and that'll pop up. It's the number one trending video right now. 12.5 million views and counting. And, man, watched it at work today, cried my eyes out. It was so incredible. This guy, Cody Lee, is blind, and he has autism, and he plays the piano and sings this incredible song, absolutely incredible song. And, I mean, playing the piano blind, I can't even fathom how difficult that is. I can barely play the piano with fully functional eyesight, and he just does such a good job. It's extremely inspirational. Lots of standing ovation. He is so excited to receive that golden buzzer. It was from Gabrielle Union, which is her first golden buzzer ever. And I don't know, it's just a really awesome feel-good story. I got really stoked up on it. And the guy, Cody Lee, I hope he wins the entire show because he's so cool.
Yeah, I like how in the beginning how adorable he is. He was just so excited to be there and just to sing and be like use his talent. And I think that's amazing. I really liked the video this week.
It is amazing. And you can tell he is like so passionate about the music, and it's his way of expressing himself, and he is really, really happy to be there, and his whole family is there, and his mom brings him out, and yeah, it was a really good video this week. I liked it a lot.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.